say good morning. I greet you in Christ's name. It's good to be here, worship together. I am again blessed having been here so far already. God is good all the time. You know, it's so important that we acknowledge the goodness of God. Satan would love to have us think that God is not good. It started in the Garden of Eden when Satan approached Eve in a temptation. He basically said, you know, God isn't really good. You know, you eat this fruit, you're not really going to die. God just wants to be a spoil sport. He thinks that once you eat this fruit, you're going to become like him. God isn't good. And Satan's attack on the goodness of God is ongoing. As we acknowledge the goodness of God, we're resisting Satan's attack on us today. The title for today's sermon is Gaining Spiritual Perspective. And our text is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'd like to share with you a word picture. A young pilot is flying soon after getting his instrument rating. He is flying by himself into a large airport. And as he approaches the airport, the weather socks in. It just totally socks in. He can't see a thing out of the window. He's looking out there. Now he's totally dependent on his instruments. And he's like, oh my, what's going to happen here? Here I'm approaching this larger airport, and I can't see a thing. I'm totally dependent on the instruments that are in front of me, and I'm going to be totally dependent on air traffic control as I approach that airport. And he approached the airport, and the reassuring voice came on air traffic control. He says, you know, whatever his identity was, go ahead and fly at whatever course, at whatever altitude. And the young man, he had just gotten his instrument rating. He said, I've got to admit, I'm not a master at this. You're going to have to help me. And so the air traffic control said, you know, you got it. I'm going to help you through this. And for the next 45 minutes, that airplane flew around a pattern around that airport until the weather cleared up enough so that he could land. And it took his careful attention to his training, to the manuals that he had read and to the training that he had received. And it took that voice in the background to reassure him that he was on the right track. And he made course corrections as needed. That's like the Holy Spirit in our life. You know, we get into a fog and we don't know which way we should go. We're needing direction. And we're totally dependent on our training in the Word of God and the Holy Spirit speaking to us in the background, kindly reassuring us that you need to make this correction in your life. You need to make this change in your life. And as we're obedient to the Holy Spirit leading us, we will be okay. We're going to be good. The Holy Spirit is very much at work in this gymnasium this morning. And my goal as I share the message today is to raise awareness of the Holy Spirit. So often we forget that the Holy Spirit is here and is working in each one of us. Our background for our study this morning from 1 Corinthians is that Paul was really concerned, as we shared the last message, was with the humanistic wisdom that the Corinthian church was enthralled with. Worldly wisdom always exalts self and demotes God. And Paul was concerned that the Corinthian church was not relying on the Holy Spirit, but on the worldly wisdom that they had been exposed to. We don't need to worry that because we've rejected the worldly wisdom, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit to give us direction. I want to define the word perspective, first of all. Perspective is as Webster says, a point of view, and it's the capacity to view things in their true relation or relative importance, as in trying to maintain my perspective. In the spiritual realm, spiritual perspective is when we see the reality of the Holy Spirit in relation to our spirit and understand the importance of moving ahead in the power of the Spirit. Before we became saved, we saw everything in a natural perspective. Our senses were attuned to what was happening around us. We had no spiritual perspective at all. I don't know if you realize this, but before you became a Christian, your spirit was dead. You had no spiritual understanding. When we became Christians, we received the Holy Spirit to live within us. And I'll be frank with you, I don't understand how that works. But within your physical body, the Holy Spirit is now living. And if I could look out here with perfect eyesight, the way God can look at you, I would see all these people who are Christians, they have within them the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is relating to God. That we relate to God through that Holy Spirit, our spirit through the Holy Spirit. And what I would really like to share with us this morning is that our perspective on things changes. It should change as we understand that the Holy Spirit is working in us. The goal for today's teaching is from verse 5 of our text that we'll be reading here shortly. It says, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your faith needs to rest not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I want to raise awareness of the importance of the Holy Spirit in your life and in my life. How that the Holy Spirit gives us the power that we need to live a Christian life. The Holy Spirit provides direction and power. Jesus promised that power to the early church as he was leaving. Another word picture, actually a picture. I don't know if you remember... a lot of you wouldn't because you're too young, but I remember when this happened back in the late 70s and around 1980, the first human-powered airplane flew across the English Channel. There was this super light aircraft, and inside of that aircraft was a man on a bicycle, and he was pedaling like mad for a couple of hours going across the English Channel. And he made it all the way across the English Channel. His average altitude was about six feet from the water as he went across there. And I can imagine the incentive that he had as he got down closer to the water. He would pedal harder. He would pedal harder and harder. And he made it. He made it across the channel. About 20-some miles he flew in a couple of hours to get across the English Channel. So why, I'm asking you, has human-powered flight not taken off, if you will? Why are there not many human-powered aircraft out there? Because of our limitations with power, isn't it? We don't have that power to last any length of time. We don't have within ourselves that power. And one of the reasons... The primary reason that Jesus left the Holy Spirit for us is to give us the power that we need to live that Christian life. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the end of the earth. He will give us that direction and that power. Okay, I want to read our text this morning, 1 Corinthians 2. If you would stand, please open your Bibles and follow along. I would encourage that. If you don't feel like standing, that's fine. But let's give reverence to the Word of God. And I'm going to be reading our text, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 16. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message was not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this passage of Scripture from 1 Corinthians 2. We thank you that you've given us this passage. And I pray, Father, that through the Holy Spirit, we can understand this passage. And that this passage would become real to us as we study it together. And I pray, Father, that you would enlighten us through the work of your Holy Spirit and give us that spiritual perspective that we so much need. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Okay, the central truth to the message this morning is that man will ultimately become what he surrounds himself with the most in life. Man will ultimately become what he surrounds himself the most in life. You surround yourself with purely natural things. You get up in the morning, you go to work, or whatever it is you do. You surround yourself with the influences of the world. You surround yourself with just purely natural things, and you will be a natural person. And you will have the natural perspective. You surround yourself with spiritual things, things from the Word of God, things from that the Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance. You will become a spiritual person. And that's the goal that each one of us should have, is that we become spiritual people, that we have a spiritual perspective in life. Man will ultimately become what he surrounds himself with the most in life. Do we have choices in this? Yes, we do. You had choices this morning. I had choices this morning of the things that I would have that would influence me. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." Each of us have, if we're Christians, the Holy Spirit living in us, but we can choose how much we allow him to work. We can choose whether we want to become a spiritual person in that we allow the Holy Spirit the room that he needs in our lives. We can choose that. That is a choice that we make. And the verse from Ephesians 5 says, do not get drunk with wine. That's going to influence you, but be filled with the Spirit. We need the influence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. He will bring to our remembrance the things that we have been taught, spiritual things. There are a couple of definitions that you may have noticed, some terminology that we read in our text that I want to define for us. The first one is the natural man. You probably saw that term, the natural man. The natural man is that person who does not have the Spirit of God living in him. So if I say that you are purely a natural man, that means your spirit, the Holy Spirit is not living in you. You don't have, your spirit is dead. The Holy Spirit is not living within you. And I take that concept from verse 14 of our text. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. I don't know what your situation is in your workplace or wherever people you associate with out in the world, but you go out there and they unless they're Christians, they don't care about the Spirit of God. They couldn't care less about the things of God. They are natural people. The word natural is the Greek word psychikos, and it relates to our English word psyche. And Jude 19, verse 19, tells us what that is. He's speaking of people who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is not in them. They are the natural person. The natural man is the man right out of the box. Your child, when he's born, is a natural person. And unless he's born again, he's going to remain that way. The natural person is right out of the box. Every child is born that way. The person who is operating on the basis of the soul, his will, which is not submitted to God, his emotion, which drives many of his decisions, if it feels good, do it. His mind, devoid of understanding regarding the eternal and eternal priorities. And I quote this little verse, and I don't know who to attribute it to. It says, into this world, to eat and to sleep, and to know no reason why he was born, save to consume the corn, devour the cattle, flock and fish, and to leave behind an empty dish. That is the natural man. The spirit of the natural man is dead. I could illustrate that a little bit by radio waves that are present in this room. There's all kinds of electromagnetic signals present in this room. They're moving all across here. Now we have 5G, right? It's moving across at some tremendous speed and frequency. All kinds of signals going across. But unless you have a receiver, you're not going to pick up any of those. If your spirit is dead, if you have not been born again, you cannot discern the spiritual things. You are a natural person, and you don't care about the spiritual things. It doesn't mean anything to you. Verse 14 of our text, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So when the scripture refers to the natural man or the natural person, that's what he's talking about. Somebody right out of the box. Second definition is the spiritual person. The spiritual person is the one who has received the Holy Spirit to indwell them. He has been born again. He has been born of the Spirit. And this is an amazing thing, and I don't understand it. When you made the decision to trust Christ for salvation, at that point in time, your spirit became alive. I understand it, how that works. The things of the Spirit are so hard to grasp. Even a baby Christian, very first day when they receive Christ, they became alive spiritually, and the Spirit of God is living within them. The Spirit of God is now living within you as a Christian. We're not aware of it often, and you know what? As conservative Mennonites, we've probably overreacted to the Pentecostals and to those people who talk about the Spirit a lot, because we see them getting carried away and see them getting radical and doing really strange things. But it's real. The Holy Spirit is real, and He lives within us. We need to have that perspective in life. The Holy Spirit living within us. A third definition, and I get this, I guess, from the older King James Version, the carnal man, and the ESV would refer to it as people of the flesh. The carnal person is a baby Christian. But his perspective is largely on the flesh. The Spirit does not have free reign in the carnal person. They're driven by primarily fleshly things, natural things. This is illustrated, and this is not part of our text, but chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians says, "But I, brothers, could not address to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ." I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you are infants in Christ? You've never really grown up spiritually. It's a stark picture, but if I could see you today, in a spiritual sense, how many of you would be walking around as little people? You're about this big spiritually. You might see me up here also. I couldn't even reach the mic. Spiritual baby. That's where, unfortunately, a lot of Christians live. They live as spiritual infants. The term is a carnal Christian or a fleshly Christian. A person who never really grew up spiritually. And the encouragement, of course, is that we grow spiritually. We have decisions that we make every day as to whether we will grow spiritually. Whatever we surround ourselves with, we will become. Whatever we surround ourselves with, we will become. That's why we should surround ourselves with the Word of God, surround ourselves with good Christian teaching, surround ourselves with Christian people. That's why we should come to church as a Christian, is to surround ourselves with spiritual things so that we can grow spiritually. The Corinthian church was right here. They were carnal. Paul said, "I couldn't speak to you as spiritual, but as carnal, even as babes in Christ." That's sad. It's a sad commentary when there are so many babies that never really grow up. Yeah, they're Christians, but they've never grown up. The question is that you should ask yourself, I have to ask myself, where am I? Where am I? Where do I fit in this picture? Some of you who are little people physically outside, you're spiritual giants. Yes, you are. If I could see your spiritual image, you are huge. You have grown up. You are a spiritual person. And of course, that's where I want to encourage you to go. You're no longer drinking from bottles. You're no longer whining like a little infant. Okay, the first main point to the message is the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit. That's what comes through in this passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 2 is the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. I take that directly from verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Okay, enlarge on this just a bit. Number one, the problem is not intellectual. The problem with this is not intellectual. It's not because people are not smart. They're not bright. They can be very, very intellectual, but they still don't accept the things of the Spirit of God. The truth is available for them to see and read. Their brain can understand the words. There's no language issue. I don't know how many of you got to the memorial services over the weekend over there at the Ukrainian funeral service, memorial for the young man who had a heart attack, I guess. But I told my wife when we left Friday night, I said, I've never been in a church service that I understood less than that worst service. I love the singing. I love the service. The spirit I felt was very good in the service, but I couldn't understand it. But the problem is not intellectual, that we don't accept the things of the Spirit of God. It is not intellectual. The problem is that the things of the Spirit are not valued. Why can the natural man not accept the things of the Spirit? It's because they place no value on them. It's not important to the natural man. The things of the Spirit, there's no value there to them. Verse I just read, let me read it for you again. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritual things are foolishness to the natural man. I don't know what your typical workplace is like or whatever you go where you are in the presence of unbelievers. This stuff isn't important to them. I won't ask you what they talk about at break time. I can tell you what the people I work with over there at JMU, what they talk about at break time, and it's not spiritual stuff. It really isn't. It's not even fit to listen to a lot of it. A lot of times I'll leave break early just because this is trash. The natural man does not consider spiritual things as important. They're foolishness to him. He lives only for the world. His values are based on the material and the physical. He who thinks only in terms of sexual gratification cannot understand the meaning of chastity. A person dedicated to piling up material possessions cannot grasp the meaning of generosity. A man motivated by lust for power cannot know the meaning of sacrificial service. An individual whose life is directed by worldly attitudes cannot appreciate inner spiritual impulses. Because the natural man does not open his life to the Holy Spirit, he counts all spiritual life and values as foolishness. The Holy Spirit gives us a deeper perspective. That's the theme of the message this morning. The perspective the Holy Spirit gives us is a deeper perspective. The Holy Spirit reveals deep things. Verses 9 and 10 of our text. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. It's the only way we're going to understand spiritual things if we allow the Holy Spirit to show them to us. The natural man can't grasp those. He has no desire to grasp those. The Holy Spirit, number two, brings understanding. That we might understand, verse 12, the things freely given to us by God. The Holy Spirit shows us the character of Christ. Jesus, when he was leaving, before he left, he says in John 16, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. I never have really gained a southern accent. And I've wondered why already. I walked into the bank after I had been in the Lynchburg area for 20 years, and the little gal at the counter says, where are you from? Why did I not gain a southern accent? You know what it is? We gain the characteristics that we admire. Maybe that's it. We are focused on spiritual things, and we focus on them, and we admire the things of the Spirit. They become precious to us. They're not foolishness to us. We admire them. We see that this is godliness. This is what we admire. What happens within us? When we admire someone, we become like them. Yes, we do. If we don't admire them, it's not likely that we'll imitate them. The Holy Spirit exposes us to Christ. That's what the scripture tells us, that he brings us to our remembrance the things that Christ taught. And he brings to our remembrance how Christ lived and how he loved sinners and how he was, how he lived his life. He brings those things to our remembrance. And because we admire Christ, we become more like him. We become like him. We develop what's called the fruit of the Spirit, right? Those loving characteristics that are the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. These kinds of things. Number four, the Spirit illuminates the Word. The Spirit illuminates the Word. I'm trusting here that as I'm sharing the Word with you, that the Spirit is illuminating it for you. Because my connection with you is not the important one. My connection with you is that I'm sharing the Word, and the Holy Spirit is illuminating the Word to each one of you and making it real and live. Okay, we want to make application of the message this morning from 1 Corinthians 2. Gaining spiritual perspective. How can we do this then? That is the bottom line. How can we gain spiritual perspective? A.W. Tozer, whose works I have read, some of them, says the following: do you want to be filled with a Spirit who, though he is like Jesus in his gentleness and love, will nevertheless demand to be Lord of your life? Do you want to be like this Jesus? Are you willing to let your personality be taken over by another, even if that other be the Spirit of God himself? If the Spirit takes charge of your life, he will expect unquestioning obedience in everything. He will not tolerate in you the self-sins, even though they are permitted and excused by most Christians. You will find the Spirit to be in sharp opposition to the easy ways of the world and of the mixed multitude within the precincts of religion. He will be jealous over you for good. He will not allow you to boast or swagger or show off. He will take the direction of your life away from you. He will reserve the right to test you, to discipline you, to chasten you for your soul's sake. He may strip you of many of the borderline pleasures which other Christians enjoy, but which are to you a source of refined evil. Through it all, he will enfold you in a love so vast, so mighty, so all-embracing, so wondrous, that your very losses will seem like gains and your small pains like pleasure. Verse 12 of our text. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Number one, do an evaluation of where you are spiritually. I can't do it for you. I don't know where you are spiritually. I can't judge you. You're going to have to do a self-evaluation. Where are you spiritually? Brothers and sisters, you're going to need to do this. Don't ignore your spiritual size. Where are you spiritually? Are you one of those little infants that are running around? Or have you grown spiritually? You're going to have to do that evaluation. Are the things of the Spirit important to you? Seriously, are they important to you? You and I must answer this question. If I don't value the things of the Spirit, I cannot have this spiritual perspective that I'm speaking of. If they're not important to me, I won't have that spiritual perspective. Is there an area of repentance that needs to happen to you? The sin that finds its pernicious way into our lives gets in the way of the work of the Holy Spirit. And we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And he stands there patiently, quietly, trying to work with us, and we're just not letting him. All these other things are entering in. Is there pride in your heart where you resist the message of the cross and of the Holy Spirit working? Number two, give the Holy Spirit priority in your life. Give him value. If the Spirit is not in us, we are none of his. Welcoming the relationship that the Holy Spirit provides for us, the gentle rebuke that he gives us, the comfort that he brings to us, give the Holy Spirit the exposure that he needs. Listen to his voice. Open yourself to his leading. Set your mind on spiritual things. Romans 8, verse 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." We are to welcome the Holy Spirit in our lives and put our minds on spiritual things. Number three, obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. What happens when we don't? I think you know. We continually resist the Holy Spirit. What happens to us? We develop a callus. We develop a callus. Those prickings that should be so sharp to us no longer really impact us because we have developed a callus there and a hardness. He is so patient, but he will not always strive with man. He wants to work in us those beautiful fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. God, the Holy Spirit wants to work in those things in us. I'm going to wrap up the message with just a couple of thoughts. We have our marching orders. I'm going to say right up front, I hope you don't resent this, you are more accountable after you leave here today than you were when you came in. We need to be responsive to God's Spirit. Let Him work in us. Will you walk in step with the Holy Spirit? Will I? Will we give great value to the things of the Spirit and give them priority in our lives? God bless you, and we'll call for a song.